verses 20 and 21, and they're in page 950 and 951 in the Pew Bible. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Rob. That was short and sweet. Well, it's great to be back from long service leave. Debbie and I had a lovely time and got some swimming and enjoyed some cups of coffee looking out at the water, and also managed to send a book off to the publishers. That was good too. But it's just wonderful to be back and refreshed and looking forward to what God has for us. And I'm very grateful to those that held the fort. I know that Rowan was incredibly busy, sometimes preaching up to four messages a week, because that's the nature of how the ministry is structured here, and just really thankful for that. Well, it was almost nine years ago, here in this church, I happened to be preaching on chapter 3 of Ephesians, this same chapter, but a part of the chapter that's earlier in the chapter, and it's the verses that were speaking about the plan of God revealed through the church. It was just a few days before my 50th birthday. And in that message, I shared my life story, my testimony with the congregation, and was reflecting also on the call to full-time ministry, which happened in the early 90s. And I spoke about my sense of urgency for the work of the church. I shared about how, at that time, I had 15, it seemed to me, 15 or 20 years of continuing full-time work ahead of me in ministry, and that seemed like a very precious and short time. And now it's closer to 5 to 10 years, and it's still very precious, and it's even shorter. So the sense of urgency is no less than before. And I spoke about how deep in my heart there was a conviction that the church really matters. It really matters to God, and it matters to the world that he's made, because that's the way God has made the world and the way he's made the church. And I spoke about how God's plan for the world, for humanity, his plan for the healing of the nations is all wrapped up in his plan for the church. He has invested everything in the church. God is not someone who spreads his investments. He's invested in the church. He's put 100% of his plan and his heart in the church. And so that task of nurturing the church, caring for the church, is so important and so close to God's heart. I also spoke about how I believe there were challenging, difficult times ahead for Christians and for the church, times that called for boldness and courage, and I think those times are not going to be any easier ahead from here as well. That's even truer today than it was 10 years ago. We do need a strong conviction about the importance of the gospel, and the church is meant to be clear and bold, courageous in presenting our message of hope for what Jesus described as really a dying world, a world that needs to be saved and rescued. So that sense of urgency is with me still, and I spoke then, and I still feel it, a deep desire to communicate with you, the good members of Oak Tree Anglican Church, the preciousness and the urgency of God's plan, and particularly his heart for the church in fulfilling that plan. I long for everyone to have a passion for the church, and to, as it were, have a heart that beats with God's heart for his church, and to feel his passion. Part of being a Christian is entering into the passions of God, that his emotions become our emotions. Well, a lot's happened in the last 9 years. Quite a number of people have come to faith and continued on in the Lord through ministries such as Playgroup and Jigsaw and the outreaches of different kinds that we've done. We've had the privilege of being involved in church plants and congregation plants. There's the Iranians in Dandenong who are going on strong, and the revitalization of St. Catherine's in South Caulfield also is continuing to grow. And I count it a great privilege to launch a young adult congregation in Elsenwick and do our best to reach out to the young people in that area. We suspended that last year, but I'm looking forward and hoping and praying and vision that the time will come when we can relaunch and reach out again through that site. Another privilege for me, and also with the support of the church, has been to help deliver training to people all around the world in ministering to Muslims. This is the time in history where there's a greater openness to the gospel amongst Muslim people than there's ever been before. And many hundreds of thousands, millions are turning to Christ in the Muslim world. So it's been a privilege to contribute to training and equipping the church around the world for that. So all of this has been an incredible blessing. And some of it we could have hardly hoped for or imagined, all that God has done, really. I couldn't have imagined 10 years ago that we'd be looking after and supporting an Iranian congregation, for example. It's part of God's saving plan for the nations. And there's a lot that lies ahead of us. I believe this with all my heart. Let me just read the passage for today in a slightly different version. Now, to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, all that we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention to two incredible declarations in this reading today. It's quite a short reading, and it forms what in jargon, Christian jargon, is called the doxology, which is a short declaration of praise. It comes out of the Jewish synagogue worship, and you use it to close off a prayer or a section of the service. So he's sort of saying, well, closure to that chapter 3, amazing chapter 3, with this declaration of praise. Glory be to God, he says, in the church. And there are two aspects to this declaration, this praise that he's expressing. The first is that the power of God at work in us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. So that's the first statement. And the second is that God is glorified in the church and in Jesus Christ to the end of time, from generation to generation, forever and ever. This is our identity as a church, to radiate the glory of God, to show forth the glory of God. And may it be so for us. Well, how does the manifestation of the glory of God happen? How does that realize? It comes about, of course, by the great working of his power within us, which is the first part of that of those two verses. So the second declaration, unto him be glory in the church, follows on from the first, this amazing power that's within us, that's more than all that we can hope or pray or imagine. His glory revealed is the glory presented through the power of God. Well, let's have a look at that first declaration about the power of God. That's what I'd like to focus on today. And firstly, a few principles about this. Paul is assuming, he's taking it as true, taking it for granted, you might say, as a given, that there is a power at work within us. This is God's power, no other kind of power. Now, Paul doesn't ask whether there might be power within us. He doesn't speculate whether there could be power. He doesn't say you need power. He says it is there. It is real. God is at work. This is the reality. The power of God is at work within us, grasped by faith in the promises of God. So that's the first thing. There is power in God at work within us. Secondly, this power is more than enough to accomplish all things God has for us to do. The power of God is sufficient for every situation we can ever face, challenge which might come our way as we follow God. There is more than enough for us. It's enough. It's not just barely enough. It's not just enough. It's more than enough. It's abundant power for accomplishing God's will and purposes in our lives, in our hearts. And the third thing is the power of God can accomplish more than all we ask or imagine. So if you can, as it were, determine what it is that you could ask or imagine that God would do in your life, Paul is saying the power of God to accomplish is greater than that. There is more than you have asked for or imagined or could ever ask or imagine. So this is an incredible way of stating that God's provision, his power, is greater than our imaginations, greater than our capacity. There is nothing too great for the power of God to accomplish through his church. And that's how the glory of God is revealed in the church. And you know, that's why God often delights in using and making use of what might seem unimpressive. and not talented and not capable. He loves to take what the world would think unable and use that for his glory. And that's really important to understand, because it's his power at work that makes the difference. And so there's never any justification for us to say, I'm not useful, I'm of no account, there's no point to my life, I can't do anything. There's no actual justification for that, because actually the power of God is more than enough to accomplish his work in us. And he loves to work in situations where people might think there's not enough human talent, not enough money, not enough whatever it is that we might think is important. He loves to get involved at that point. So his power is amazing and more than enough, and it's for us to actually make ourselves available and get involved in that. The measure of what God can do in your life is not you, it's God. He is the measure of what he can do through you and through the church. And so he's actually, by this doxology, by these words of praise, he's challenging the listeners to understand this. Paul is saying, God's capacity is what determines what he will do, not just your lack of imagination. Our challenge as followers of Jesus is to put ourselves in the place, in that place of power. And that means actually being in a place of utter dependence. It's kind of paradoxical. To be in the place of power, you need to be in the place of weakness, place of utter dependence upon God. I find it very sad that Rowan is going. I mean, I depend upon him in so many ways. He's an amazing person to work with. But I know that God is able to supply all our needs by his mighty power. And he will do that for us, and he will do that for Rowan as well. God will bless Rowan as he fulfills the commission of this church to go into all the world. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and teach the nations. Rowan has probably read that a lot of times, and he said, okay, Lord, I'm going. Of course, if you all decided to do that tomorrow, you just let me know, please. But, you know, there is power available. God has provided all that's needed. That's our challenge, is to place ourselves in a position of dependence upon God. Now, when we position ourselves in this way, we won't be satisfied with human plans and programs that are independent of God's power. It's not that we shouldn't make plans. We should. Rowan is making plans. He's got a few years of preparation. You're going to need money, there's things to do, he has to separate from other things to be ready for this, there's work that needs to be done. But it's not enough what we can do and plan in ourselves. We need to make plans that depend upon God's power. So actually plans in which couldn't possibly be fulfilled without the power of God, they are the most exciting plans. They are the real kingdom plans. We are suspicious of situations in which everything is under our personal control or in human capacities. We know that the real fruit is in the place of bold dependence upon the power of God. We have this amazing privilege to worship together with two other churches and to present the gospel in Federation Square this Friday. And we had it last year as well. The year before, we were in a park in the city. And as we were worshiping in that park, it was an absolutely beautiful day. I was thinking it would be so wonderful to be in Federation Square. But I tell you, Federation Square gets booked out every year. Do you know what it gets booked out for on Good Friday? The Comedy Festival. People are making jokes on Good Friday in Federation Square. So in order to get Federation Square, we have to bump out the Comedy Festival. And we were just wondering, what could we do? How could we get there? You know, and someone suggested the name of somebody to talk to who was a politician, not anything to do with Federation Square, and he said, actually, I'm best friends with the person that runs Federation Square. And 6 weeks later, Maureen, amazing woman who had a vision for this ministry, she got a phone call from the boss of Federation Square and said, would you like to come to Federation Square? So we have it. We can declare the praises of God in that place. Now, they are a bit nervous about us. They have all these rules. We had to submit our message to them beforehand. We can't do this, we can't do that. I don't know if they make as many restrictions upon comedians. But praise God, he provided that more than we could hope or imagine. If you'd said to us 4 years ago, you know, in 3 years' time, you're going to be together with other Christians in a church, you're going to be celebrating the death and the resurrection of God in Federation Square before thousands, potentially thousands of people. I would have thought that is beyond what I could hope or imagine. But I do know in principle that God can do it. But that's an example of how God can do more than we can hope or imagine. And I'd like to invite Chris and Michelle to come and share with us how God has done more than they could hope or imagine this past week. So come on up, Chris and Michelle. Welcome back from Mozambique, too.
Well, I've got the pleasure of asking Chris a few questions about what went on. I might have been there, but I'm going to keep very quiet about what happened. I would really like Chris to tell his experience of the story. So, Chris. Why on earth did you go to Mozambique? What was the purpose of your trip?
Well, so just as a recap, and we talked about this just before we went, but Odd spoke to me about going over there to make a video for Iris Arts, which is a ministry within Iris Global, which operates in Pemba in Mozambique, and it's the ministry that Michelle's been heading up now. And it's a beautiful ministry that serves about 100 Mozambican widows by providing a way for them to earn an income when they don't have any other way of doing that. And all of these widows are providing for, you know, upwards of, you know, 9 people, 10 people, and they're the only ones providing. And so it's a beautiful ministry. But there was no video, there wasn't that many photos, there wasn't a lot of stuff to help communicate that story to potential supporters, to other people that might get on board and work with them. And so it was about October last year when God put on my heart to begin the process. And so going over there was the fruition of all that, the culmination of God bringing it all together to make it happen finally so that we could try and tell this story. So that was the intention, that was the purpose of what we wanted to do. And specifically, Michelle's had on her heart this idea of a program called the Foundations Program, which was this vision to begin to provide housing for these women. At first it sounds kind of a tangential idea to the idea of providing an income and making jewelry. But, really seeing it for myself firsthand, it became very apparent that actually having a house, having a place to live, was actually a very core central issue to helping to liberate these women and help them elevate out of poverty. And so that was another big part of this, was to go and to tell the story in such a way that we could help communicate why it's really important that these women have houses and to motivate people to get on board to help make that happen. So that was the vague idea, and we thought, all right, let's go and just see what God does.
Well, I like that plan. What a great plan. I'm just wondering, when you were there, if you saw the power of God at work in any way, did you see the glory of God? So can you tell us about what God did while you were there?
Yes. We did see the power of God move. We saw it in really beautiful and profound ways. And I was deeply reminded of the truth of this scripture that Mark's preaching on. Overwhelmingly reminded of it. And, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was going over there by myself at first. And then at the last minute, God spoke to Michelle and said, you need to be there. And he spoke in quite a beautiful way, too, the vision. And there were some things that happened and the way God confirmed it. And so within, it was like 2 weeks advance, I think, a week and a half advance. So she buys a ticket in a week and a half out, manages to get your visa sorted. We already had that. But anyways, it all worked out. And, you know, we got there, and God just, it was amazing. I was there by myself at first, and I was just kind of taking it in. But as soon as Michelle got there, the dynamic shifted. And we saw this one particular mother, she came to us, and we were just doing this interview, and she opened up. She began to ask for help. She said, Michelle, I need your help. And that's what I began to realize, all these women, they'd go to Michelle because they saw that, you know, she was in this position where she was seeking God. She was there. She had such a heart for these women. And no one else, you know, loves these women. No one else cares for them in their life. And here's this woman that God's placed in the midst of them with the love of God just overflowing for them, and they're responding to that. It was amazing to see. And this one woman, she said, I don't have a place to live. And she had 3 children, right? And she had a sister, and then her sister had 3 children. 4. So there was 9 total. and she was providing for all of them, and they had nowhere to live, and they were sleeping on a piece of cloth, a kaftan, right? And she said, we don't even have a bed, and I need your help. And what she was earning through the program, the Irish Arts program, because it's still so small, it wasn't enough. So she was, her monthly rent, to rent a house, was 1,000 mets, and she's earning through Irish Arts 150 mets a week. So she's never going to get to a point where she can pay rent at the way things are at the moment. And she opened up and said, this is what I need. And I watched Michelle react to that. You know, she was quite helpless in that situation. You know, she couldn't just go solve this problem on her own, in her own strength. And so we prayed for this woman, and we decided, let's just do one thing. Let's make one bit of change. And so we went into the village, and we bought a bed for her. And we went back to her house. We had someone carry the bed through the village, and we set up this bed under the... it was a friend of hers that had a house that she was allowed to stay in the front yard of. And there was a bit of corrugated iron that was the awning that provided some shelter from the rain. And so we put the bed under that, but she had no mosquito net. The water, the mud at our feet was green. It was so fested, and there were mosquitoes. You could see the mosquitoes dancing in the water, you know that. And so there's malaria, there's disease, there's all these problems. And here are all these kids, you know, covered in mud, living in this situation. And it was heartbreaking. And we asked the Lord, we need you to do something, God, we need you to rescue this woman. And then you multiply that, you know, 100 times, and that was what we were facing. But then the next day, I met with Michelle, and she said, change of plans. We had something else we were going to go film. And she said, we've just been contacted, and evidently there's three potential houses that we might be able to buy to initiate the project. And this is from money that's come from, you know, the work that the church has done. You know, that money that from the garage sale that we all worked so hard for, and the different things that have happened. Suddenly, it was like we thought we were going to have to buy land and build a house. And that was going to take a long time. And here this poor woman had nothing. And suddenly the next day, it was like someone came to us and said, actually, you know, there's some houses that are pretty good that are already built. And this one's empty. And you could probably buy this. And she could probably move in within the week. And we were overwhelmed at God's goodness. And watching him provide and do that was incredible. And that is exactly what happened. Within that week, we got to see God provide a house that was empty and ready to move into. And God blessed this woman. And when we told her, her reaction, you know, to see her cry, to see her just so moved and touched, because imagine a week, put yourself in her position. Imagine a week of sleeping in the mud with your children, okay, Monday night, Tuesday night, you know, Wednesday, and every night you're praying, God, I need you to rescue me from this situation. I don't know about you, but I, you know, I've been in situations in my life where they've felt pretty dire, and I've felt alone, and I felt like, I'm reading about the abundance of God and his provision, but I'm not seeing it. And it's really hard to connect my experience with my understanding of God. I imagine she was going through something very similar in that every day, with no end in sight, no vision of what was going to come. And then what was impossible for her, you know? Like this woman, she didn't even have a bucket. One of the things she asked for was a bucket. She said, I'd love to have a bucket if you could help me buy a bucket. So that's the level of need. Now, imagine being given a house. That is so abundantly beyond what she could imagine. Like, her imagination, the furthest it could go was for her to ask us for 1 month's rent. That was one thing she asked for. It was like her pushing her faith to the limits was like, I'm praying for 1 month's rent. We're like, what happens the next month? What happens the month after that? You know, the thought of God providing a house was impossible. And yet, we got to stand back and watch God do just that. And it was overwhelming. And it was such a clear reminder for us, I think, of the fact that in our lives and in the situations we face over here, they're very different. But God is able to show up and do something abundantly beyond what we could ever, ever imagine and blow our expectations away. And he's just that good.